Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Hello, America. I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to the CEO Show. We're here today with Clay Holderman. How are you, Clay?
I'm doing great, Robert. Thank you for having me today.
My pleasure. And Clay is the president and CEO of Unity Point Health. This is one of the largest healthcare systems in America, about 4.5 billion, 32,000 employees, based in Iowa, but covering several states. So let's first start off. Before we talk about your organization, you have some real significant thoughts on healthcare, and everyone's interested. What's broken in healthcare today? What can we do to improve the system?
You've got a really broad audience, and I don't want to bore people by going, you know, too technically into that, but I'll tell you, for a couple of decades now, we've been talking about the cost of healthcare bankrupting this nation. We've been talking about disparities in access and outcomes across vulnerable populations. We've been talking about fragmentation, and we've been talking about waste. And for the first time in my career, I'm seeing, I think, the combination of factors that may allow us to really address all of those issues. You know, we disrupted enough during the COVID pandemic that we're going to have to build back differently. And just maybe we learned enough. Just maybe there's enough investment in venture capital that's going to disrupt us further, that this might be the time that we actually make a difference.
Talk specifically. What is the exact plan that you think we should do? We know that now is a unique snapshot in time because we understand there's a move back to home. We understand technology has been worked out. We understand telemedicine's going. There's a lot of pieces moving in place. What should healthcare CEOs do? And then what should non-healthcare CEOs do to build the model?
I won't go into a plan that we could governmentally change tomorrow, but a few things that everybody can impact. You know, I was attracted to Unity Point Health. In fact, I just had my first anniversary here because of our brand promise, which is know how much you matter to this world. And it may sound cliche, but it's not. One of the biggest learnings during the pandemic is that isolation kills, right? It's that engagement is the solution to good health. And so the simplest thing we can do in healthcare and outside of healthcare is truly engage people as an individual. You're seeing the elevation of behavioral health for the first time in decades and integrating into caring for the whole person. And whether you're trying to deal with healthcare costs as a CEO of a non-healthcare company, or you're trying to just improve outcomes and readmissions, engaging people around the totality of who they are is one of the simplest things we can do to fix a broken system. You know, a couple of other themes that I won't go deep on. One is bringing in the full body of analytics, right? We can't fix problems like equity if we don't break down our data with an equity lens. We can't address readmissions if we don't look into the full data around social determinants. And so it's really ingesting beyond the medical record, beyond the billing data, beyond the claims data if you're looking at your healthcare costs as a company, and really saying, what is the full story of what's causing health issues in my population?
I want to let everyone know, we've got 600,000 listeners, you're going to hear a personal story of engagement and why Clay has a different perspective than any of the about 1,000 CEOs I've interviewed. And that's going to give you a real sense of what engagement could be and why it is so critical. So I like you saying that. You know, you mentioned in 2021, you became CEO of Unity Point, a major healthcare system. It's a different type system because, to me, it's unique in a way from how it covers the entire continuum. Talk about the uniqueness of the Unity Point system.
I appreciate that you refer to it as a system because it's much more than hospitals and clinics. We've got a nationally leading home health and hospital at home set of services. We've got, we own a share of two different health plans. We are a very large player in value-based accountable care organizations. And we span three different states. And so it is a unique system in the Midwest that covers both metropolitan and rural populations. It really allows you to see that the same model can't be deployed exactly the same everywhere. But when you coordinate a full portfolio of services where you can meet people from their home to their hospital bed if needed, and you can wrap around them, you can do some pretty amazing things.
As all of us are going through the pandemic, it was doubled up with the labor shortage. So it's also that you have people have intense amount of stress with them, but you've fewer people and there's a labor shortage. How did you deal with that?
We are still dealing with that first. When I came here a year ago, I actually thought we were at the tail end of the pandemic. And so I walked in, and I think one of the first things I declared to the organization was we were going to end the fight with COVID. And Delta came, and vaccine mandates came, and Omicron came. But the labor, you know, our people are all that matter, right? Without them, we can't provide any health care. And the job of the CEO is really just to let them know that they are heard, that they're seen, and to inject some optimism that there's a better future coming. I think one of the most important things we did here was to motivate our non-clinical workforce to volunteer to be helping hands with our clinical workforce side by side. And we had people come in and cut carrots and dietary or pass trays or fold laundry or just run supplies. We had people act as sitters. And then we had some people with some clinical training just really extend top of license. That the staff and our workforce and our team seeing that people from across the organized cared and were willing to lend a helping hand, I think that inspires people to go a little bit further.
How do you do it? It's a brilliant idea to engage everyone. Everyone's part of the system, but there are all these different skills that are needed, and there's training, and people are still, you have a labor shortage. How do you actually implement something like that?
It comes in stages, Robert, and one of the biggest differences about the way we acted during this time of COVID and the way we would have acted historically is we implemented incident command, which is an emergency response concept. It cuts through all the bureaucracies, and it cuts through all of the committees and reviews and risk assessments, and it really says, what's it time for now, and how quickly can we do it? So in the beginning, it really was just appealing to people's willingness. And really their availability was a lot more important than their ability. And they'd come into a charge nurse on a floor or to in an emergency department to a director, and there'd be a quick exchange of what can you do to help? Okay, let's line that up. Let's make sure you're safe and let's go. Over time, though, we developed processes around that, right? So we developed electronic ways to sign up. We developed warm handoffs with skill sheets, and we developed, you know, duty rosters as to what types of things people could do based on their training and their experience.
People going through the pandemic, they didn't go through what you did necessarily, but some people did go through these horrific outcomes. And I'm just wondering about the whole mental health of all of your workers. You have 32,000 employees. How do you deal with that? What advice do you have on managing the mental well-being? Because they then have to deliver and give, you know, a smile on their face and be 100% effective to the patients.
First, you've got to make it okay to not be okay. You've got a role model that nobody, after 2 years of a pandemic, has avoided some level of stress and crisis and has avoided hitting the wall at some point. Our caregivers are the tip of the spear. Our critical care caregivers have seen more death in the last 2 years than they did in the prior 20. And there's no way that can leave you unchanged. So we actually took our brand ambassador, a cute kid named Austin, and we actually aimed a campaign just at our internal workforce that just said, it's okay to not be okay. We tried to role model forums where people could talk, right? We used Schwartz rounds, which is a formal approach to that, but we used informal approaches of just coming together and normalizing. You know, health caregivers were trained to be objective and detached and distant, and they push things down, and you can't do that over an extended period of time. You got to make it okay. And then we are putting tools into our system to help people. You know, whether it's digital tools, a company that we invested in and integrated called SilverCloud, or whether it's our employee assistance programs, or whether it's training our leaders who are kind of caught in the middle. They feel responsible for their staff. They're on the front line experiencing the same trauma. They're caring for families at home. So really coming around with them and training signs of depression and suicidal ideation. There's no silver bullet, but maybe the most important is just constantly reminding people that you see them, that you know what they're going through, and that there is a brighter future.
If anyone wants to learn more about it, because you have a unique type comprehensive system that sort of should be a national model in a sense, what is the website that they can go to?
Sure. Just come to unitypoint.org.
There you have it. We're about to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the personal side with Clay, and we're going to hear some incredible stories in terms of what it took to become a CEO, as well as the personal engagement from a humanistic side. Back in a few.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Stock market have you nervous? With geopolitical conflict and inflation concerns, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you don't have to. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word DEMO to 813813 and discover how to predict stock market trends up to 3 days ahead with incredible accuracy. Whether you trade stocks, options, forex, futures, or crypto, Vantage Point's patented artificial intelligence can give you a massive edge. Text DEMO to 813813 to get what you need to stay ahead of the markets and find big moves before they happen. Don't wait. Text DEMO to 813813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of VantagePoint. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, welcome back. I'm Robert Rees, and we are speaking with Clay Holderman, who is the CEO and president of Unity Point Health, which is one of the largest systems in America and has a unique model. We now want to shift to the personal side. So you went through something that out of the 1,000 CEOs I've interviewed, no one has gone through, but I think it gives you a unique perspective on healthcare. Talk about Mason, your son. What happened?
I'm married to my wife, Shauna, for 27 years now, and we've raised 4 children together and just empty nested. But my middle 2 children are identical twins, Jackson and Mason. And when they were 14, we thought Mason tore his ACL and took him in for an X-ray, just matter of course. But it turned out to be a rare bone cancer called osteosarcoma. And I'll never forget, I actually heard about that we had an osteosarcoma diagnosis in the pediatric ICU while I was rounding before I found out that it was my son who had it. So it's a kind of a life-changing, everything stops, everything goes black, and you lean into your family. We spent the next 2.5 years undergoing surgeries up in Colorado where they had a pediatric orthopedic solid tumor specialist and undergoing chemotherapy and radiation in my home system in New Mexico. And in that 2.5 years, you know, your perspective on what you're leading is completely different. One of the things I tell people is, you know, you don't realize how little of the work that your teammates actually do is the delivery of healthcare and procedures and medications, and how much of what they do is just being empathetic, caring, loving human beings and trying to give light into some dark situations.
Tie that into your concept of engagement, because no one else has had, they've had their own son in a system and pass away at 17 years old and live through that. And unbelievable, having 3 kids myself, thinking about that. But you spoke earlier about engagement, and I think you have an enlightened viewpoint on the whole new health system and how this ties into engagement and what you learned from this.
I would hope no one else has to go through a family member loss in order to gain perspective. But just being present with your teams and seeing what they do day to day and what they go through is really perspective changing, right? It changes how you believe about what they need to know, how you hire, how you show up. But I was with my teams so much in the wee hours of the morning and you know, in the busyness of the day. And I saw the way our processes impacted them and got in the way of them being able to provide the great care that they want to provide every day. And I saw how broken supply chain issues, broken computer processes got in the way of them being the most caring people they could do and showing people how much they matter to the world. And after that, when I round, people know that I know what they do, right? People know that I understand what it's like to be with families, that I understand that they need time and attention to be present. It's a whole new level of engagement and understanding, not only in the system I left, but in the system I came into, when people know that you really do understand what they're up against.
Clay, let's talk about, as a snapshot in time, why this is the right time for change, and then talk about specifically what you're doing with innovation at Unity Point.
You know, everyone's talking about how COVID may have been just disruptive enough to break our old norms and our old way of doing things and allowing us to be more agile. But on the side, the venture capital dollars that are flowing into private equity to disrupt healthcare through payers, through health assurance applications, through retailers, through companies taking a responsibility for lowering their own cost of healthcare, for the first time create a threat enough that the status quo is not okay. It's not survivable to do things the way we used to do them. At Unity Point, our board has allowed us to take a section of our board-directed investments on our balance sheet and dedicate them to startup companies that are solving problems in very disruptive ways in our space. And not only do we invest in the company with the startup capital and hopefully receive some returns in our balance sheet from that disruption to our business, but we have commercial contracts with almost all of the companies that we invest in and are working on disrupting ourselves from the inside out.
I'd like to sort of sum it up with what your vision of what our healthcare system really could be if all these pieces come into place, if engagement and the technology, where do you see healthcare potentially going?
I think healthcare can be more human, right? I think we really can, with the technology and the data and the analytics that are available, we really can get a view into people in their whole selves and their whole lives. We can stop separating physical medicine and behavioral medicine in arbitrary spheres. We really can get a picture of how to meet people where they are and how we can bring them to their best health. We can really begin to advance in our ability to get away from a fee for procedure or a fee for service system. And we've been talking about this for decades, but we've got all the pieces there now to really go to where we can take one stream of premium revenue in a health plan kind of setting and take care of engaging someone around all of their needs and meeting them in the home when they need to, meeting them digitally when they need to, meeting them in our facilities when they need to. But we can design that care around their experiences and their wellness and not around us doing well when somebody needs a procedure or a readmission or an exacerbation, which is actually really a failure of the system. And then finally, we can really start to understand the differences in people. You know, populations are not the same. They don't have the same reactions to treatments. They don't have the same access to information. They don't even have the same access to transportation. They don't have the same cultural beliefs about death and dying or illness and medicines. And so, you know, we can begin to look at our health access and our health outcomes through a lens that recognizes that not everyone is the same and providing people what they need.
That is such an inspirational vision, and I really think it can happen. But the thing is, it is a 180-degree different look. Instead of looking from what we're doing to looking what's needed, doing it in the home, doing it everywhere. And what a pleasure it is, Clay, having you as a guest on the CEO show.
I appreciate it, Robert. You know, the pandemic was not a positive for anyone, but it may have been just enough disruption, just enough retraining and challenging of how we think things have to be done. Maybe for once we really could make a meaningful change.
And there you have it. Everyone, think about this. Number one, it's okay not to be okay. What an incredible thought if we all understood that, because there's no way that everything will be okay, right? Number two, as CEO, get involved personally with your teams. Witness what they do, because now you're going to be able to be truly empathetic with them. You will be build a new model of engagement. And three, look at creative ways with your workforce, for example, like they're doing. Well, you get non-clinical people to help with clinical. Imagine you don't have to be in healthcare. Everyone, you could get all of your employees to work better. And what that does is better teamwork. It galvanizes the organization. It aligns everyone and delivers the best for the patient and for the cup and for the customer. Thank you again. Great having you on the CEO show, Clay.
I appreciate it. G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
These are the sounds of someone taking their eyes off the road. Texting while driving is more than distracting. It's dangerous. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. When you're on the road, stay off the phone. A message from CTIA.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
America, I'm Robert Reese, and welcome to CEO Show. We're here today with Eric Wexler. How are you, Eric?
I'm doing good, Robert. It's good to be with you. Thank you for inviting me.
A pleasure. And Eric is the president of operations and strategy for Providence. Now, Providence is one of the largest healthcare organizations in America, and Eric's responsible for 28 hospitals, 45,000 caregivers. But before we talk about that, it was 2016. You had a deep hospital background already, and something about the mission of Providence really drew you in. Talk about what happened.
Well, yeah, I had spent most of my career in the not-for-profit space, and then I had this five-year stint. It started with Vanguard Health, and then we merged with Tenet. And in 2016, as I was driving to work one day from my apartment in Boston to Southboro, where our offices were, I started thinking about the mission of Tenet. And by the way, I loved it there, and I loved my colleagues. But much of our focus, aside from quality and engagement, was also making sure we met the requirements of our stockholders. And sometimes that for-profit imperative can be in conflict with, you know, what we believe is the best thing for our communities. Now, I have to tell you, Tenet, we did a great job of handling that. But it occurred to me that going back to my not-for-profit roots was something that attracted me. And it did because we can take the long view of things, not a 90-day treadmill where we're worrying about hitting a strike price on stock or, you know, a certain level of profitability that the financial analysts will come after us about. In the not-for-profit space, we need financial stability too. But, you know, our long-term strategies can relate as much to what we do on that sprint as it does in that marathon. And so from that day, when I had that ride to work, 3 weeks later, I got a call about the opportunity at Providence. And when I learned about Providence and what it was doing, it excited me to no end, and here I am.
Oh, that's great. And talk about what is it that you do uniquely at Providence that you're proudest of?
Well, we serve in our mission, the poor and the vulnerable. And, you know, the reality is, Robert, you and I can be vulnerable. I recall that I was when my wife wound up getting diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma, and she was certainly vulnerable. In Providence, when we think about the poor and vulnerable, not only are we reaching out to those communities who are deeply in need, those who often can't afford care or don't have insurance for care and maybe have to use Medicaid, but we also are steeply committed to making sure that whole person care, the compassion that we give to our patients, relates not only to them and their healing, but as well to their family. So we embrace our patients with love and compassion.
I like that. Love and compassion. If there was one word that defined, one word or a phrase that defined the care delivered at Providence, what would that be?
A phrase? I would say, you know, whole person care with love and compassion.
I like it. That's, you ready for this? All these years, I've interviewed 1,000 CEOs. That's the first time I've heard that. It's great. So let's talk about leadership. You're in an interesting position because you have leading up the global leader of the organization, but also you have 28 hospitals, most of which I'm assuming have a CEO, and how do you mentor them, and how do you get mentored yourself?
You know, I love that you said, how do I get mentor myself, because I think it's a two-way street when you're mentoring your colleagues, and I find that all my interactions, whether it's with the hospital CEO or the regional chief executive, because I've got three of them, one in Texas and New Mexico, one in Northern California, where I am today, one in Southern California, and they have a team, that I learn as much from them when I'm trying to impart advice. Sometimes my advice isn't the best advice. And so, you know, I love that you said that because I do think it's a two-way street. For us CEOs, our connectivity to those that are out there in the field, even beyond our CEOs of our institutions, from my perspective, is very important. Now, you know, I live in Southern California, but you and I are speaking today, as I alluded to, from Northern California, where we have a series of hospitals. And over the past 5 days that I've been here, I have been moving around from hospital to hospital, having dinner with our hospital CEOs and some of our regional leadership so that we can have informal conversations about the demands that we have on our lives as leaders and in our work, but also to get to understand my colleagues as human beings. What excites them? What is challenging them? When I know more about what's going on in their lives, I can also help connect better with them in our day-to-day interactions, but also in helping them meet their own expectations. You know, when I walked around one of our hospitals yesterday, I spoke to one of our OR directors, and I could see that she was stressed. And of course, in this workforce crisis that we have, and perhaps we'll have time to speak about that, you would expect that any leader that's out on the ground is having a lot of stress, in particular as a pandemic is underway. And, you know, I said to her, how many cases are we doing today? And she gave me the number. And then I asked, how many cases are waiting to come into our operating rooms? And she said, there are 90 cases that we have to get on the schedule, that we cannot get on the schedule because we don't have enough of our surgical techs and nurses to get all those cases completed. You could feel the stress and worry that she has, which, by the way, I do too. For those people that haven't gotten that care yet, who are waiting to go to surgery. So part of my responsibility as a leader, as a servant leader, is to think with her and with our regional chief executive about how we deploy resources so we can clear that queue out.
So, Eric, you were talking about the well-being. I'm wondering the mental well-being, especially with the labor shortage and the intense work that these people, these caregivers, have to do, especially under the stress of a pandemic. What advice do you have? Do you have any practices that help reduce the stress and contribute to better mental well-being?
First of all, let's get grounded in the fact that the stress that our caregivers, our frontline staff, our leaders are experiencing is not just from the workplace. Some of it is uncontrollable that is happening at home and in our communities. The issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion in this world contribute to that, politics and otherwise. So, you know, we're not creating all of this ourselves, but we do have a responsibility to try to provide relief. So we, in our organization, we have ensured that there are access to mental well-being services. Some of this is done virtually. We just deployed a product to our caregivers that asks them to fill out a survey. It's a confidential survey to assess their mental well-being. And it gives you, at the end of the survey, a scale of where you might be concerned and where you might need to focus. And if somebody is high on that scale of concern, then we immediately offer counseling services to that employee. I filled it out myself, and I feel very good mentally. But I have to tell you, even at the end of it, it said, here are some things that you could work on. And honestly, it surprised me, and I don't feel like my stress level is as high as those that might be delivering care out on the front line. You know, the other thing that, as I've been, you know, marching around Northern California to our various hospitals and speaking with groups of directors during the day, is I have been insisting, and I actually use the word directing them, to take care of themselves. And that means that at some point in the evening or when you're not at work, you've got to put the smartphone down, ladies and gentlemen. That includes us CEOs. We need a couple hours a day to just dedicate to our own well-being and, frankly, to the people that depend on us, our loved ones. Now, I get up every morning at 5:30. I march off to the fitness center. I work out for an hour. And while I'm there, I think about that hour being only for me. And part of what I'm asking our employees to do is to find that hour every day. It may not be going to a fitness center. It could be a walk, a bike ride. It could be reading a book. Lastly, when we think about mental well-being, I think we all have a responsibility to ask our leaders when they go on vacation not to be answering email. When I go on vacation, I turn my email off. If people need me, they'll text me or they will call me. But if I look down at my phone and I see that little red number, I'm going to want to start answering those emails, and I won't allow myself to rejuvenate. And frankly, for the number of vacation weeks that we get as leaders, you know, out of the, let's just say we get 4 weeks, so we have 48 other weeks that we're working. 4 weeks we get to refresh. And I want to dedicate that to my wife and to my loved ones. And frankly, selfishly, when I do that, it is better for me and it is better for the people that I lead.
And there's some wisdom. CEOs, put your cell phones down.
According to the World Gold Council, while demand for gold is surging, 72% of people reply they lack the necessary know-how to do so. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta, owner of Advantage Gold, hands down the highest rated gold dealer in the country. The reason? We lead with education. We've taught millions of investors how to buy gold safely and securely, and our in-depth gold guide explains everything you need to know. From what type of metals to consider, if an IRA or cash transaction is best, and how you can be certain that the gold you're buying is authentic, certified, and real. Call 800-900-8000 now and get our number one rated first-time gold buyer's kit. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the information you need to secure your future. Call 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000 today.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only 2 documents in your medical chart
a birth certificate, and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We're here today with Eric Webster. Eric is the President of Operations and Strategy for Providence, one of the largest healthcare organizations in America. So you are managing 45,000 people, 28 hospitals. There is, and no secret to any of us, a serious labor shortage right now. How do you manage that? What ideas do you have?
Robert, I've never seen anything like this. Probably none of us have. And let's face it, we're all competing with each other to try to get the same employee. We're even driving up compensation from institution to institution just so we can get that same employee. Part of what I have really asked the team to keep a keen eye on is how we retain the people that we have. Now, retention happens in its strongest sense when the caregiver or the employee feels connected to their leader, that they feel appreciated, that they have somebody to cry on the shoulder of, if necessary, somebody who is highly responsive rather than, you know, not answering the call to need so that people can do their jobs well. I think this imperative to get people on board as quickly as possible is essential. And, you know, there's a piece of me that doesn't want to give all my secrets away, but I think part of the challenge that we're facing is when we hire somebody and give them an offer, it sometimes takes 2 or 3 weeks before we put them on the job. And if you're in a role that is not highly compensated, you may not even be able to afford that 3 weeks. You got to put food on the table. So I put the concept out there that while people are waiting for their drug test and background test and maybe orientation, we start paying them the week after we give them the offer, even if they're not on the job. And then, look, if they don't pass their drug test or somehow it falls through and they wind up someplace else, then we'll have to forfeit what we paid them. But at least we can show that we care about them even before they came here. And then I want to use the word belong. Too many times when we all bring employees on, we make it hard for them when they're signing up for benefits or they're figuring out where to park or how to get an ID tag, and they feel like outsiders. So if we can begin to spend more of our energy on wanting you to feel like you belong to our organization in day one, and I'm going to ease your way like you're a member of my family, then they're going to be more committed to us when they get here and they actually start their work.
I really commend you. I have not heard of anyone doing that and paying them for that time up front. It's a brilliant idea. And I know you don't want to give away all of your secrets, but being the one who started, it's really commendable. So,
well, I have to admit, Robert, you know, we actually haven't started to do that yet. It's a concept that I've rolled out to our human resource leaders. And I'm pretty committed to seeing us do it. So I'll let you know how the implementation goes.
And you're the first one on video coming up with this great idea. Who knows? America may follow you, but it's terrific. Let's go to another challenge, because I like your innovative way of thinking about issues like labor shortage. How about supply chain? Now, you've 28 hospitals. If you think about the supplies that are needed for 28 hospitals, it's mind-boggling. There is a serious supply chain shortage. How do you manage this?
You know, that supply chain shortage was fairly shocking when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. We actually could move product around the world and around the country seamlessly at that time, but there wasn't enough product to actually give to our hospitals and to our physician offices and so on. Now we have another issue. We produce the product, but every time I take off from the airport in Orange County and we fly over the Long Beach area where, you know, the loading docks are, I see 50 to 75 ships sitting out at sea. And I'm going to tell you with sincerity, it breaks my heart because I have a very strong feeling that the supplies I need are sitting on some of those ships. Our answer to the supply chain, and thank goodness for Dave Walker and Dave Carlson and our leaders who are responsible for supply chain at Providence, is take a very proactive approach. You know, our just-in-time processes of the past are not tenable right now. So we are proactively getting supplies, putting them in strategic supply centers around the Pacific Northwest and West Coast. And then we are deploying those supplies as needed and then refilling those supplies out when they go out the door. I cannot wait for those 75 ships just in Long Beach to be emptied. Who knows about the rest of the Pacific Northwest and West Coast? I know we have the same problem in Seattle and in Portland and beyond. So, you know, a proactive approach to this is essential. And frankly, there's a cost issue here that if we are desperate for supplies, whether it's N95s or gowns or whatever it might be, we're going to pay a higher premium. So, yes, we are going to pay an inventory cost at this point, but I'm not willing to risk that so that I can't provide the care that I need to the patients that we serve.
Eric, there's one key word, caregivers, that you use over and over. You don't say associates, you don't say employees, you say caregivers. Even yourself, you call a caregiver. All 45,000, what is it about that word that resonates so strongly?
Well, first, recognize we're a faith-based organization. And we believe very strongly that all the people that are involved in the calling that we have here are part of providing the care to our patients and their families and to each other. So everybody at Providence is considered a caregiver. I'm not a clinician, but I'm considered a caregiver. Our CFO is a caregiver. The environmental service aide is a caregiver. And the reason we think that way is we want people to recognize that their responsibility is to well-being, to health, and to getting people home safe with their loved ones. Every one of us have the responsibility to make sure that that happens. And it makes me feel like I'm part of what happens out on the front line when we're treating patients in hospital beds or giving them a diagnostic or in the OR.
You know, and on that note, Eric, I have to really commend you. I could tell you have a true heart of gold put in place of helping the caregivers deliver this important work and removing all the barriers. A real pleasure having you on the CEO show.
Thank you. It has been a pleasure to be here. And thank you for doing this for us CEOs, because I will learn from other CEOs out there, and I hope that there's something small that I imparted today that will help one of you.
And everyone there, listen, think of the word belonging is essential. Two, put the iPhone down to recharge your batteries. But three, when you're hiring people, when you're mentoring them, find out two things, what their passion is and what their challenges are. Once you get to those systemic cores, you can have real movement forward as a galvanized team.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.